Welcome to Spotlight 10. We share our favorite stories with you, spreading the full range of fiction, nonfiction, and comedy. Learn more about the world around you or dive into a new reality built on sound storytelling. Each of these feature episodes has been crafted by a different host with a different style. Let's jump into this week's episode.
The National Basketball Association, or the NBA, as modern scholars would call it, a storied league that almost saw its end in the late 70s. As cocaine, heroin, and crack plagued the NBA, TV ratings were plummeting. That all changed in 1979 when Magic Johnson and Larry Bird were drafted, and overnight, basketball was revived. The rivalry between the two players is what's credited with sparking new interest in the sport and making ratings boom. But what if I told you that there was a rivalry just as good, that went way deeper, but never got the coverage that Bird and Magic got? What if I told you this rivalry was right under the viewers' noses the entire time, on the same bench as their beloved Lakers and Celtics? Just no one was the wiser to know it. This is the story about that rivalry, the lost rivalry between Earl Disley and Jimmy the Slug Jackson. On a stormy night in 1957, Martha Jackson gave birth to her son, Jimmy, in Indianapolis, Indiana.
My mom always said I had to come out the womb fighting. Screaming. You kinda had to, though, right? Growing up in the city like I did, you had to be a fighter. Scrapper.
Martha, an orthodontist, made sure to always feed their son's passions. And his first being basketball.
I was considered a rich kid. I was a rich kid. And I didn't like that. I used basketball to channel some of that anger I felt growing up. The anger that was instilled in a young man living in the city.
About 110 miles southeast was born a man both similar to Jimmy, yet so very different.
My name is Earl Disley, D-I-S-S-L-Y.
Earl didn't grow up with the same luxuries as Jimmy, and praise was hard to come by in the Disley household.
My pa was not a great man. He was a big-time thief, would steal car radios and whatnot. When I got into basketball, I think he saw that as another money-making opportunity. So he'd steal a lot of gear from me in return. I'd have to work my ass off for him. And my ma, she didn't get much praise from her because she died when I was 6.
Loving basketball and growing up in the great American Midwest is where the similarities ended. Disley quietly won Mr. Ohio and averaged a triple-double.
Probably could have made it further in the playoffs. Heroin went off like a bomb in the community, not our community, but I think it still shook some of the boys up.
And Jimmy Jackson loudly won the state title, where he earned the nickname The Slug.
Coach, you and your team just won the state championship, and a lot is to thank your star player, Jimmy Jackson.
Yeah, Jimmy's a hell of a player. Today he was great, just slow and methodical like a slug. Boy, just slug the basketball.
Jimmy, how do you feel? Folks, doing a little dance. Very good, good moves, Jimmy.
When it came time for college, Earl committed to Dayton University, and Jimmy went to UCLA for academics. He then transferred to the University of California, Santa Barbara, and walked on for their basketball team. After 4 years, Earl became a solid sixth man for Dayton, even starting a few games, while Jimmy found a comfortable spot as the seventh and eighth man for UCSB.
I just did my job, practiced hard, took my studies seriously. Pa wouldn't let me slack. He frequently called coach to check if I was still on track to getting drafted.
While Disley had his priorities in line, the slug was having a different experience.
I didn't tell my parents I dropped out of UCLA for 2 years. Naturally, they weren't happy, because they were paying for school.
Their first meeting was both their senior years in an expedition match.
I didn't care much for Jimmy Jackson. Always showboating, hot-dogging around. That's not what the sport is about.
Earl Disley. That man always freaked me out. Showed zero emotions. He had dead eyes, just dark abysses that only saw basketball. He wasn't even playing. He liked basketball. He played because his dad would kick his ass if he quit.
The tension between the two players was like a spring, just getting tighter and tighter and tighter until it was bound to explode.
And with 2 minutes left in the third quarter, Disley has the ball. Here comes the screen. Disley drives a wide open basket, and Jimmy Jackson wraps his arms around him to prevent the shot. That'll be 2 free throws coming up, and Disley gives Jackson a little slight shove to say, hey, get off me, man, and they quickly break up.
That was probably the first basketball fight I've been in. Pa don't like me scrapping. He'd beat me up if I ever got into a big brawl.
The two boys finished out their college careers pretty well, but NBA scouts were not too attracted to them or their play styles.
They all liked me for my personality. They could tell I was a good, dependable kid, but several coaches said my play style was several decades behind. You play like some 1950s plumber who's in the NBA to pick up an extra couple bucks. That's what a coach told me.
As hard drugs had a firm grasp on most players, several incoming prospects did not pass their drug tests, omitting them from that year's draft. Disley and the slug kept clean, so it gave them a chance.
When news broke about drug tests, I instantly received calls from 20 teams. Coaches finally saw my potential.
On draft night, it went the way we all know. Bird going to the Celtics and Magic to the Lakers. Our story continues late in the second round.
With the 44th pick in the 1979 NBA draft, the Boston Celtics select Earl Disley, point guard, Dayton University.
I remember getting the call. My pa answered first to receive the news. He was ecstatic. And I remember him saying, Earl, let's play ball.
With the 53rd pick in the 1979 NBA draft, the Los Angeles Lakers select Jimmy Jackson, point guard, UCSB.
I had completely forgot about the draft. I was only at the bar with some friends. Luckily, the bartender had the draft on the TV, and I looked up and I went, oh crap, I'm in the NBA.
The two got to work to secure a role on the team, and the two would get their first crack at each other on a snowy December night.
We were on a road trip, and Boston sucked. The people suck, the weather sucks. Getting into Boston, I wanted to get out of there so soon.
And with 1 minute remaining, Boston will be the winner. Coach is now throwing in their benches to finish up. Coming in for Boston, their only other rookie, Earl Disley. And for the Lakers, their own rookie, Jimmy Jackson. Fun fact, Jackson's nickname throughout high school and college, the Slug. Isn't that something? Oh, and that's the game. Boston 105, LA 123.
With their first duel ending in a draw, America was put on notice that these boys came to play, and the rivalry was only building.
I didn't care for the Los Angeles Lakers. Didn't like Magic Johnson too much. He always had that cheesy little smile, always showboating and hot-dogging around.
The next time they'd get another crack at each other would be in January, but neither would get any minutes. The next time the Lakers and Celtics would face off would be much of the same thing, but the next game after that would be the time when the two would get some minutes.
Yeah, I remember that game. Norm Nixon was out with a sprained ankle, so coach bumped me in the starting lineup. Season high, 8 minutes that game.
The rookie, Earl Disley, takes the ball up. Passes to Jones, and Disley with a quick backdoor cut puts it up and scores. It's a quick inbound, and Jimmy Jackson drives hard on Disley, and he scores. Wow, we got a battle amongst these rookies right now. Oh, and LA is going to sub out Jackson.
Combined, the two put up 4 points and 6 assists and 1 rebound. A stellar showing from the rookies. When playoffs came around, Earl and Jimmy had a chance to finally put America on notice once and for all. But their respected coaches had different plans.
Coach trusted me more and more. Understandably, during the playoffs, my man's depleted. There were a lot of games where I didn't touch the floor, which was fine. I knew my role.
Earl Disley stayed calm and collected, but Jimmy the Slug Jackson was singing a different tune.
I was pissed. I didn't get a single minute in playoffs. Naturally, me and Coach got into it. The Slug needs his minutes.
The 1980 season ended with the Celtics getting bounced by the 76ers in the conference finals and the Lakers winning it all.
It was cool to win a ring. I was still pissed about my minutes, though, but winning the championship made up for all that.
And Earl was hopeful for what the future held for his career.
We were all devastated, but I was just looking forward to next season. Another offseason of training, and I think I could truly offer something amazing for the Celtics. But sometimes, the world has different plans.
Unfortunately, team management did not share the same faith and abilities as Earl and Jimmy had for themselves. The Celtics and Lakers drafted their replacements and cut them in the offseason. A good ending would be that these boys found another team to thrive with, but not all stories have happy endings.
I reckon fighting with my coach didn't help getting that contract extension. For months I waited by the phone, hoping for a call from a team. I never got that call.
The Slug would move back home, finish out his degree at community college, and become a franchise owner of an Indianapolis Burger King.
I was disappointed to not get another chance. But my pa was definitely more disappointed. I didn't go home because I was scared of pa, so I moved down south to Louisville.
Earl Disley became a ranch hand for a small farm where he eventually got into coaching high school ball.
We were terrible.
Basketball fans and Americans alike were all robbed in 1980 of the greatest sports rivalry that never could have been. The rivalry that died before it began. Shrouded by Bird and Magic and a lack of minutes, very few remember the names Earl Disley and Jimmy the Slug Jackson. The NBA never saw two players like those men, and the league will never again see players like that. It was the golden era of basketball, and the two kings who ruled it never got the crowns they deserved. The Lost Rivalry was written and produced by Reed Packin. Special thanks to Charlie Goodme and Jared Lenarski.
Like what you hear? Rate us on Spotify, give us a like, and follow Audio Video Land on Instagram, where you can find more Spotlight 10 updates, teasers, and behind-the-scenes content. Spotlight 10 is an Audio Video Land production by digital storytelling students of Michigan State University in collaboration with Impact 89 FM.